purport. The miracles of meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord with eagerness and devotion are so great that no other process can compare to it. The minds of materialistic persons are so disturbed that it is impossible, almost impossible, for them to search after the supreme truth by personal regulative endeavors. But even such materialistic men with little eagerness for hearing about the transcendental name, fame, qualities, etc., can surpass all other methods of attaining knowledge and detachment. The conditioned soul is attached to the bodily conception of the self, and therefore he is in ignorance. Culture of self-knowledge can bring about detachment from material affection. And without such detachment, there is no meaning to knowledge. The most stubborn attachment for material enjoyment is sex life. One who is attached to sex life is to be understood as devoid of knowledge. Knowledge must be followed by detachment. That is the way of self-realization. These two essentials for self-realization, knowledge and detachment, become manifest very quickly if one performs devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. The word dhira is very significant in this connection. A person who is not disturbed even in the presence of cause of disturbance is called dhira. Sri Yamanujacharya says, "Since my heart has been overwhelmed by the devotional service of Lord Krishna, I cannot even think of sex life. And if thoughts of sex come upon me, I at once feel disgust." A devotee of the Lord becomes an elevated dhira by the simple process of meditating in eagerness on the lotus feet of the Lord. Devotional service entails being initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and following his instruction in regard to hearing about the Lord. Such a bona fide spiritual master is accepted by regularly hearing from him about the Lord. The improvement in knowledge and detachment can be perceived by devotees as an actual experience. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu strongly recommended this process of hearing from a bona fide devotee. And by following this process, one can achieve the highest result, conquering all other methods. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshusum Militam Jinatasme Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesa Sunyavadi Pastitade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakaupa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavinibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Bhutale Shrimati Shivaram Swami Iti Namini Hare Krishna. Just take permission from all the senior devotees here or online before I start speaking. Hare Krishna. So we're continuing the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. So here you can see in this chapter that the process of learning knowledge is very important. The way we learn knowledge and who we learn knowledge from. Eagerness. So here in this chapter, actually, this verse is described that detachment is an important factor, and how we can become detached from this material world by cultivating knowledge through eagerness. Prabhupada said eagerness to want to hear about God is the primary necessary factor for wanting to go to the kingdom of God. So eagerness is a very, very important qualification or ingredient needed. Once someone asked Prabhupada a question, I said, Prabhupada, what if you have no enthusiasm for spiritual life? Prabhupada says, no enthusiasm, this is animal life. Human being means enthusiasm. So we have the choice to choose it, and we have the choice to cultivate it. These are Prabhupada's words. We have a choice to choose it and choice to cultivate it by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting Hare Krishna, and by associating with devotees. So this eagerness comes when we carry out the instruction of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the most binding factor in this material world is sex life. Sex life is one thing that destroys enthusiasm and eagerness for life. Even on a material level, you can see those professional sports people, especially boxers, they are told before a fight they're not allowed to have sex. At least, I don't know how long, but maybe a week or a month before a fight. Why? Because sex life is something which destroys the desire to want to engage in something. And this is just a material thing. What do you speak of spiritually, right? If we want enthusiasm and eagerness on a spiritual platform, then we have to refrain from these unwanted activities. This is why Srila Prabhupada says, follow the four regulated principles and chant 16 rounds. These are the basic requirements on initiation. Yeah, and eagerness is also destroyed as devotees if we do not protect our bhakti lata bij. If we do not protect it from offenses, especially offenses to other devotees, Vaishnava aparad, then our eagerness to want to engage in Krishna consciousness will be destroyed. We commit so many other offenses to the holy name, small things sometimes. Not concentrating properly when we're chanting or when we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, or laziness. These things slowly destroy our eagerness and enthusiasm. I mean, eagerness can be translated into enthusiasm, determination. These are all kind of the same, similar kind of things. Yeah. So if we protect our spiritual life, if we do what the Guru wants us to do, who is instructing us to do, then we will always be eager for spiritual life. Like Prabhupada says, it's a very important ingredient needed, eagerness. And the eagerness to hear about Krishna, as it's explained here in this verse, is very important. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojita. Janayati Ashuvairagyam Gyanam Chayatta Hoitakam. By engaging in devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires knowledge and detachment from this material world. So through knowledge, especially when we're trying to inquire, seeking knowledge through eagerness, then one will develop detachment. And detachment to what? Detachment to this material body and everything connected to this material body. We slowly become detached. But it's not like we have to focus on detachment, right? We just need to become detached, Prabhu. First thing you think about in the morning is becoming detached. No, detachment will come automatically. It's not something we need to focus on. What we need to focus on is the very thing that is going to help us become detached, and that is Krishna. Attachment will help us become detached. But attachment to what? Detachment to hearing about Krishna and his transcendental pastimes and activities. So Yeah, we don't need to worry about detachment. It is a natural byproduct of Krishna consciousness, if it's done in the right way. So he explained about knowledge, how detachment comes from knowledge. So there are two ways of receiving knowledge. There's the ascending way and the descending way. Yeah, two ways. The ascending way is, you know, someone may be very intellectually inclined. They may be born with some very good karma for the brain. Yeah, just like there are many scholars out there in the material world who may know the Srimad Bhagavatam or they may know the Bhagavad Gita even more than the devotees do in an intellectual level. They may be able to quote so many slokas. They may be able to know so many verses and how the scriptures work. And even the Mayavadis, they're very well versed, you know. If you want to have an argument, philosophical argument with a Mayavadi, you better be prepared. but their knowledge is just knowledge, it's just gyan. They cannot understand Krishna. They cannot understand that the purpose of the Vedas is what? It is to achieve some love for Krishna. They will never understand that. And then there's the descending way, which we go for. Descending way means that the knowledge is coming down from disciplic succession through the parampara, through the guru. So therefore, if one wants to learn true knowledge, one has to go to a person, a spiritual master. Everyone knows that verse. Tattvidi parinipatena. Parispasena sevaya bhakti te gyanam. Gyananas tattva darshina. Very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, take initiation from him. And render service unto him. For a self-realized soul will impart knowledge unto you. Because he is tattva. Gyan. He has understood the truth. So this is the process. So by approaching the guru means, you know, Krishna consciousness is a very personal process. Personal process means that Krishna's a God and we're trying to understand our relationship with him. Yeah. And you can only understand the relationship with God as a person if you first understand that we have relationships with devotees and the guru. Yeah. And then by serving the guru, in that verse it's talking about menial service, the guru becomes pleased. And then this way he imparts Krishna within the heart will reveal it to us, the transcendental meaning of the scriptures. And then slowly we will become detached. Detached from this material body and everything connected to it. So in order to become detached from this body, we have to focus on something superior, right? And then detachment happens. So just like before, we're devotees, we're attached to so many abominable things, right? Especially eating so many abominable things, yeah. But then you become a devotee and then you realize, oh, this is prasadam, this is amazing. And then once you develop a taste for prasadam, you no longer want to go back to eating these other horrible things, right? Everyone remembers the first time they ever took prasadam, right? Devotees always remember that. I do anyway. I remember I was only 10 years old, or maybe 8 years old. We were at Berry Place. I remember the very first day we knocked on the door, the doors opened, and there was one devotee standing there. It was Rasa Mandala Prabhu. And then just in front of the doors, there's the stairs that go down into the kitchen. And I could smell, as the doors opened, I could smell the smell of halava and incense. And I never forget, even for today, it's just that smell is eternally there. So once you experience these, I mean, she's just, you know, it's me, you know, I'm talking about prasadam. Once you experience these things, you no longer want to go to anything lower. Why? Who in their right intelligence would want to do that? So if we, when we experience Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, by reading Bhagavatam, by hearing from the pure devotees, satam prasanga mama vidya samvito bhavanti hrit kana rasaya kataha yo taj josh yasuna no apavaga vatmani shraddha ritir bhakti anukamishyati. By hearing from the pure devotees about the transcendental pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord, it is very pleasing to the ears, kan and rit, the heart. Very pleasing. And by cultivating such knowledge, one advances on the path towards liberation, apavaga. And then one becomes freed. So once you're freed, the path to liberation is open. Freed means that you're no longer attached to sense gratification. You're no longer attached to this material body, which is the very thing which is stopping us from desiring or wanting Krishna. Shraddha. Shraddha ratira bhakti. Shraddha. One becomes fixed in his determination. Faith becomes strong. Bhakti through performing devotional service. So this is a verse from Kapila Muni to his mother, Devahuti. And he's explaining there are three factors, important factors in this verse. First thing is, association of pure devotees. The most important thing. And not just association with devotees, we have to associate with those devotees who are engaging in devotional service. Because it's devotional service that is going to free us. those who are engaging in devotional service and those devotees who have some taste. And if you hear from them, then our taste will naturally come. Yeah. Our taste for wanting to be with Krishna. So the moment we're attached to this material body, I'm attached to everything connected to it, relationships, friends, home. So what do we need to do? We need to hear about Krishna's relationships, hear about Krishna's home, Nandagram, Vrindavan. And then our attachment to our home will naturally go away. We're attached to our country, our community. So we need to hear about Krishna's country, community. We need to hear about Vrindavan. We need to hear about Krishna's relationship with the devotees. Because if we don't get attached to Krishna's home, Krishna's family, because our family is temporary, right? I mean, we all know this, but we need to be told, I'm preaching to myself. If we don't attach ourselves to Krishna by hearing from the pure devotees, then we will just be constantly focusing on our own material body and our own problems in life. So many problems. The problems don't stop in this material world. Like that. They just They just manifest in different ways. That's all. You overcome one thing and then something else, right? You overcome that and then something else. Actually, if you look at astrology, 90% of astrology is negative. Right? And even when you do find something positive within astrology, it says, oh, that positive thing will be counteracted by this negative thing. And one astrologer once said that it's very difficult to do devotees' charts. Because once you surrender to Krishna, Krishna changes everything. He takes away your good karma, and he takes away your bad karma as well. Having your bad karma taken away is a very good thing. But sometimes having your good karma taken away also, you think, well, in my chart it said I should be a millionaire by now. Krishna, what's that, what's going on here? Yeah. So these are all temporary things. These are all material, temporary. But hearing about Krishna is eternal because it changes the heart. And then at the time of death, whatever you think of, you go there. like that. Shrivatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana ridyantastohi badrani vitanoti sritsatam. Krishna's in the heart as a paramatma super soul. He's in the heart and of the faithful devotee. He destroys the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed an urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Yeah? So this is what happens when we hear very with enthusiasm, with eagerness. then the desire for material enjoyment slowly goes away. But it has to be done with eagerness, not that we sleep and at the end of the class you wake up and joy, made another class. Shushu shadanana sivasudeva kataru jisyan mahatseva punya tirtana sevanat. By serving those devotees who are free from vice, great service is done. And through that service, one attains affinity for hearing about Vasudev. So by serving the pure devotees, and the best service you can do by hearing a pure is hearing from the pure devotees, by hearing from them. And then by hearing, we carry out their instructions. And then by carrying out the instruction, these unwanted anattas from the heart, these unwanted things slowly, gradually dissipate, slowly go away. So this knowledge and detachment, Prabhupada said, it can be perceived by devotees as an actual experience, you know. So it's like Krishna consciousness is not it's not something stagnant, you know. It's ongoing process, and you can experience it as you advance in spiritual life. Yeah. So we can actually check how we're advancing. Is you know, how am I becoming? Am I becoming detached, or am I becoming more attached? Yeah. It's my material desires. Are my material desires dissipating gradually? Can I see that? Or are they increasing more and more? So Krishna consciousness is like that. It's a very scientific process. So if we're practicing it properly, if we're hearing properly, we're serving the spiritual master correctly, then yes, then we should see some improvement from dissipating these material desires. Sometimes we may be a little dissuaded from practicing Krishna consciousness due to a lack of enthusiasm or eagerness, right? But actually, if you remember this one thing, I was reading the other day that Krishna is more eager to want to see us than we are to want to see him. Yeah. So it's like if we make a one step towards Krishna, then he makes like 10 or 100 steps towards us. And Lord Chaitanya, he magnifies that mercy. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is magnified thousands of times more than Krishna's. That so we remember that Krishna wants, he's more eager to want to see us than we are to want to see him. When in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Gopa Kumal finally entered Goloka Vrindavan, after many millions of years, long time, because it had gone, you know, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Svargaloka, Brahma, you know, so many, he had traveled throughout the whole universe, and he had even took positions as the king of heaven. And was he Lord Brahma at one time? I think he was. Yeah, he was even Lord Brahma. So you can imagine taking birth as Lord Brahma, how long it's going to take for you to reach your destination. So finally, after so long, he reached Goloka Vrindavan. And when he got there, he asked one, he says, one old lady. So there's even old age in Goloka. But I suppose that's her eternal swoop. But it says he saw an old lady and he asked her, where is Nanda Nandana, Krishna? And she said, Nanda Nandana is in the forest with his friends. And he'll be coming back very soon. So anyway, he'd waited so long, so waiting a little bit longer wouldn't make any difference. He'd waited millions of years. And then he heard a sound coming from the forest, the sound of Krishna's flute. And it's described that when living entities in Goloka, when they hear Krishna's flute, they become stunned. And immediately the devotees, they all knew that Krishna was coming back from the forest. And they can hear the sound of the cows mooing. And so Gopa Kumar was observing all these different things going on. And he saw the gopis coming out. Gopis coming out and rushing towards the forest. They were not even caring about anything, about their activities they were doing at home. But no, they just wanted to see Krishna. And it's explained that he could see how eager they were to want to see Krishna. And it was only their eagerness that would stop them from seeing Krishna. Like this. And then finally, Krishna arrived. And he said to Sridham, oh, look, from a distance. He said, there's my dear friend, Sarup. Sarup is Gopa Kumar's eternal form. so he ran. Krishna ran over there towards Gopa Kumar. Krishna was so eager to want to see Gopa Kumar as Sarup that as he was running towards him, it's described that Krishna he touched him. And Gopa Kumar fell unconscious just by seeing Krishna. And then Krishna also fell unconscious. So Krishna fell on the floor. And Krishna was crying and all his tears moistened the ground like this. Anyway, all the Vrajavasis came out. They thought, what has happened here? You know, they thought Gopa Kumar was a demon trying to kill Krishna. So we can see how enthusiastic and eagerness Krishna has for us, for devotees. And there's another story when Gopa Kumar's disciple, the Mathura Brahmin, he also saw the same thing Gopa Kumar saw by Gopa Kumar's mercy, being the guru of his disciple. He allowed the Mathura Brahmin to see what Gopa Kumar was experiencing in Goloka Vrindavan. And what he saw was Krishna coming out of the forest, and Krishna was running towards both of them. And they're in ecstasy on the floor. And Krishna also falls unconscious due to the overwhelming desire to want to be with his devotees. And he lands on top of them both. And as he lands on top of them, he embraces them. And then he bathes them both with the tears coming from his eyes. So this is amazing, isn't it? When we hear things like this, how we realize that what are the most inner feelings that God has, you know, Krishna has for his devotees, very deep. And then it inspires us, or it should inspire us to want to achieve the highest thing. Because it's there, it's available. Yeah. Krishna consciousness is not just trying to become detached and trying to control your mind and that. We really need to develop a taste for wanting Krishna. And we can only do that by hearing. There's no other way. Like that. And Lord Shiva says a very nice prayer, so I'm going to read out here. Lord Shiva prays. He says, "My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and the destroyer of all the contamination of sin. I therefore beg your lordship to bless me with the association of your devotees who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees." Like that. And then Prabhupada writes in the purple, he talks about how the Ganges water is celebrated to eradicate all kinds of sinful reactions. When a person takes bath in the Ganges, he becomes freed from all contaminations. And the Ganges water is celebrated to be coming from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But the unalloyed devotees, they show mercy to common conditioned souls. Yeah. Common conditioned souls. Whereas the Ganges, she should show mercy to the devotees. But the devotees, they'll show mercy to anyone who's not even a devotee. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, it says here, Lord Chaitanya is so powerful that each of his devotees can deliver a universe. So therefore, it's the business of the devotees to go and preach Krishna consciousness and give everybody the chance to become, give them a chance to know what we know. Give them a chance to know the knowledge we have, you know, because they're rotting in the material world. So therefore, a devotee has to have compassion. You know, we're given this knowledge. And it said, if you have knowledge, but you don't distribute it, then it will dissipate, it will go. So if you don't preach, everything we possess, all this knowledge, it won't fructify into the real, it won't fructify, anyway, it won't become vigyan. You know, how deep can we go in Krishna consciousness? The ocean is unlimited. like that. Anyway, I'm going to stop here. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class. Love the explanation of the importance of eagerness and the stories about Krishna as well, which just bring a joy to the heart. I was wondering if you could comment on something in the purport there of Srila Prabhupada, which you also mentioned, commented on. And he quotes Yamunacharya, and I just thought it was very fascinating. You know, you said how Srila Prabhupada says, you know, sex life is the most difficult thing to overcome. And Yamunacharya says, you know, explains that. And I just thought it was so powerful that even he says, you know, if the thought comes, you know. So, you know, you're such an elevated soul, explaining, you know, that the thought comes. You know. And, you know, I think it was interesting to understand that, you know, it's something that you're always going to come, come. So how do we, if you could just comment on that and, you know, as you say, developing again that attachment so strong to Krishna that, you know, it doesn't become interesting.
Yeah. Even a pure devotee, he's saying, even a pure devotee, you may think sometimes. That may also be his humility. You know, Prabhupada would pray sometimes in front of the deities, pray to Krishna that he would never fall down, you know. But that's you know, Prabhupada's a Mahabhagavat, he's never going to fall down. But that's his humility. But also, you can see it in another way. Once the Prabhupada was giving class, and a very attractive lady walked in the class, and Prabhupada said, oh, Prabhupada was talking, and he said, yes, she's very beautiful, something like that. I don't know, I'm just paraphrasing here. Prabhupada said, she's very beautiful, but that's where it stops. You don't, you know, you look at her and you think, she's very attractive. Or a lady looks at a man and says, he's handsome. But that's where you stop. And that's where the mind, as a devotee, stops you from going any further. Yeah, with intelligence. And because it's not like a devotee is completely, he doesn't see anything in the material world. He doesn't appreciate beauty. He doesn't appreciate the good things. They appreciate it. But for them, everything is in connection to Krishna. Because their taste for Krishna, for wanting Krishna, is way exceeds any material taste. It may momentarily go into their mind, but it stops straight away, and that's it. Doesn't go any further. Whereas someone else, you know, the mind will just keep reeling, and then they'll go over and speak, and then make plans and. Devotees not, but but they'll still appreciate. They'll still see it and appreciate the beauty. But that beauty is in connection with Krishna. So
it's a question of not allowing the mind to meditate in a way on an object.
That's right.
A desire. Let's say.
And you know, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, and we develop a genuine taste for Krishna consciousness, it's not that we really have to force ourselves not to reel on material things. It's natural. You have a natural taste for Krishna, and it's not so difficult to just bring the mind back, you know. So that's the thing, you see. It's not it's not like Krishna consciousness is ongoing. It's like I said, it's eternal. How deep can you go? You can just go as the ocean is on, you know, it's so deep, you can just keep going on and on and on. So depending on the advancement of the devotee, will depend how they handle situations like that. When we're not so advanced, we have to be very careful. Therefore, we follow the rules and regulations laid down by the spiritual master. We may not have a spontaneous attraction to Krishna so much. So therefore, these rules and regulations are given to us to protect us from situations like that. Because by following these rules and regulations, it strengthens us. It gives us strength, eagerness, and enthusiasm to want to advance in the spiritual life. And therefore, we see something beautiful in the material world, and it's not, we can overcome it. But ultimately, we need to develop a genuine taste. Not that just the rules and regulations are stopping us. No, because you can only go so long just by that method. It has to be genuine taste coming. And that will come when we hear from the pure devotees. This is why reading Prabhupada's books is very important. Hearing the spiritual master. Hearing devotees. When you say pure devotees, not sometimes devotees say, oh, only hear from a Mahabhagavat, no one else. Prabhupada defines pure devotee in different ways, you know. Someone who's following, someone who has a genuine taste. But of course, hearing from the Mahabhagavat is the best. This is why we regularly read Prabhupada's books. Vishwan Bhapuru, did you have a question?
Hare Krishna. I just want to throw in a few pennies contribution on that. Not to undermine the reply of Brahmanava, very good reply. But I always dwell in on that verse, Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchati, that by serving the master of the senses, you know, one can gain control. How? Because it's Krishna that you asked, you know, how do you help yourself when you are attracted by the opposite sex or when that thought comes. It's actually taking shelter of Krishna, or serving the master of the senses, Rishikesh, and he controls our senses. Because on our own, sometimes we can't do it. Actually, not sometimes, all the time, we cannot do it. It's actually Krishna that controls our senses. And Srila Prabhupada said the secret is that, to allow Krishna to control our senses. But, like, you know, Brahmanava described that, how do you do that? But Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, you have to engage in the service of his senses, in his service. Anyway, that. Just when you can't do something, it's just like the father, you know, sometimes he's got the weight left, and the child is pretending, you know, he's lifting the weight, you know, in the gym, but the father is behind him, you know, lifting, and the child thinks, oh, I'm lifting this huge weight, but actually it's the father doing it. So that's similarly with the senses. When we take shelter of Krishna, he's the one controlling our senses. Anyway, just a few pennies.
Okay.
True. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. My question is about, you mentioned about the Ganges that I was trying to understand. I think said that it purifies just the devotees, but I was trying to understand because the Ganges is available for everyone. So I just trying to understand how does that work in that sense.
Yeah, what I meant by that was generally only the devotees know about the Ganges, right? Yeah, it's not like John in Stevenage is going to India to bathe in the Ganges to get rid of his sins, right? It's very unlikely. It's usually the devotees, yeah. So to come in contact with the Ganges, you must have performed many, many lifetimes of pious activity, yeah, right. It was just not the Ganges is not flowing through Watford town centre, is it? Or maybe I'm wrong. But a devotee, according to the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can be walking down Watford town centre, just like Vishwan Bhapuru does, go out and book distribution every single day, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and they come in contact with him. They haven't come in contact with the Ganges, but by coming in contact with him, they get one of Prabhupada's books, what I hear a Harinam party chanting, and then that is the trigger for their spiritual life. So that's what I meant. Sorry, I have a habit sometimes of saying things but not elaborating on what I've said. So therefore, it gets a bit confusing. Thank you for that question. Hare Krishna. Prajam Prabhu?
That's interesting you say about Prabhupada's books. There's a letter... a conversation in Vrindavan. He says, everything I have to say is in my books. There's no need to go to anywhere else. It's all been said here. And in connection with that, also with this verse, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. This is from chapter 4. Text 34 and 35. Approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they've seen the truth. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you'll never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see all living beings are but part of the Supreme, and they are mine. And the thing is that Prabhupada is leading the way. I can only see this, that there were all living beings that we must get these books out, and so they can share and they can give to others, and through the disciplic succession. And much like you could say, this be a monk for a day, they're all tasting what it's like, but then they got a choice. And they're getting a sampling. They'll take it or leave it, but it's getting to them. And the same with the school programs. Thousands of kids come here. So, that's really, it's giving everybody a taste of giving them a taste for what it's like here. They never forget coming here, even if they do leave, Okay, sorry, that's it.
Thank you. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll stop there. Kyantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam. Okay.